You're probably tired of it after a while. So we're going to switch gears, and we're going to call this the Summer of Wisdom, because we're looking at this book, which is a book about wisdom. And we all could use wisdom. No matter what stage in your life, you probably would raise your hand and say, yes, I would like wisdom. Maybe you're a kid thinking about where you want to go to college or what you want to major in, or should you pursue that relationship? Or maybe you're a little bit older and you're like, well, should I buy a house or should we move? And the answer, God is telling you never to move, just FYI. People move too much. Or you may be asking, you know, do I need to change some of my friends? What do I need to do? Or maybe you're a little bit older, and it's like, well, can I retire? Or what do I need to do? What should I do? Almost any stage of life, there's questions, and we need wisdom, right? We need wisdom that comes from above, wisdom that comes from outside of ourselves. And the good news is that there is wisdom that we can find in the book of Proverbs, because we usually look in other places for wisdom. Maybe for wisdom you look to Dr. Phil or Oprah or Dr. Oz, or you write to Dear Abby. I saw a Dear Abby letter a couple months ago that the person asked, what can I do about the nudity, language, and violence on my VCR? You'll get that on the drive home, maybe. I don't know how that person asked that question. Maybe you go to a fortune cookie, or you go to Google for wisdom. Google settles all debates too quickly now. You can't ever have a debate with your friend because you know the answer right away, because you can just look it up. Where do you go for wisdom? And the reason why I think Proverbs is a great source for us is for a couple reasons. First, it's not some new fad or new idea. There's new ideas coming up all the time, but this has been something that people have studied and looked to for wisdom for 3,000 years. So it's not like the new bestseller, although the Bible is still a bestseller, but it is not just something that's new on the shelf that's been around forever. And secondly, if you're a believer in God, you believe that this was inspired by God. This is something that gives us some understanding for what it means to truly live. And wisdom is kind of one of those things that's hard for us to find, hard to understand. For me, I know the wisest people I know weren't straight-A students. I think about that in my high school baseball experience, because I was a good student, and they just thought that I was a rocket scientist because I was a decent student. And so my coach, when I would make dumb plays on the baseball field, which happened pretty often because I was not a wise baseball player, he used to yell several things at me. But one of the things, I need to be careful saying it, but he used to say, Shackman, you're the dumbest smart guy I know, when I'd make a mistake. And again, he'd yell other things as well, but that was one thing. He's like, your baseball wisdom isn't really all that strong. It doesn't really take someone to get straight A's to be smart. So what is wisdom? And as we kind of introduce this series today, we're going to think about that question. What is wisdom? And I think kind of a good simple term to understand wisdom a little bit is understanding the order of creation, understanding our place in creation, that God is in charge, and responding appropriately to God's order and God's creation. Raymond Ortland says about wisdom, wisdom is more than brains, it's more than morals. We could memorize the whole Bible and mean it from the heart without wisdom. Wisdom is skill, expertise, competence that understands how life really works, how to achieve successful and even beautiful results. So it's understanding how things work, and not only just understanding them, but wisdom is applying it. I mean, when you think about someone who's wise, maybe someone comes to mind, like a grandparent or a mentor or a friend who was a few years down the road, and it's someone who has lived their life well, right? You don't take wisdom from someone who hasn't. You might take a thing here or there, but someone that's like really wise is someone who's lived their lives well, and you could go to and ask them about lots of different kinds of things, and they could give you an answer. It's someone who has applied the order of God's world and lived it well. And just to kind of help illustrate this a little bit, I have this tennis ball here, and I mean, it's fine for me to just toss it in the air right here. No one's in danger at all. Just keep tossing a little bit, and I'll go a little bit riskier. This is bordering on the edge of not wisdom. I asked Crystal to go off to the side. I'll throw it to Crystal in the back of the room. Here, let's see how this works. Oh, we're so close. You want to throw it back to me. Give me one more chance. It went out of the auditorium. That's amazing. That was totally my fault, too. It's like way out of there. All right, throw it back. Come on, you can do it. There you go. Okay. I was a little too fast. I know I got a good arm. But that is kind of bordering on unwise, probably, right? I mean, that's not like, hey, you could have broken the computer or something. But with a tennis ball, it's probably okay. But imagine then that I was to pick up a brick. How many of you would move if I was saying that? Pretty much everybody over here, right? You're like, I'm getting out of here. I actually do want to try it someday. I'll do it when no one's here. And you'll probably find a broken pew someday, and you'll see. You'll be like, that was Brian's brick toss. And so it's again, bordering on unwise to throw a tennis ball, but it's definitely crossed into the definitely unwise to throw a brick, right? That's way, way too far. And it's one thing to know that it's not wise to throw a brick, but it's also another thing to actually apply it. And when you're talking about throwing a tennis ball versus throwing a brick, everyone's like, that simple, I understand it, no big deal. Like we all understand that. But I think there's a lot of simple things that are pretty true, pretty obvious for us, but that we don't really apply. For example, if you go to lunch today, you have these two options for lunch. On the top, a kale salad with cranberries, some almonds, I see, some other, I don't even see anything else on there, it looks beautiful. Or a Big Mac meal with fries and a Coke. Which one is the wiser thing for you to eat? Yeah, everyone knows, it's like you don't throw a brick across a room of people. It's obvious, isn't it? I mean, kale salad is a lot better for you. And kale tastes terrible. I saw this quote from Jim Gaffigan, who's a comedian. He says, can we stop it with the kale propaganda? It tastes like bug spray. I saw a can of bug spray recently that said made with real kale. I don't know if you've actually tried kale before, but it's not very good. It's worse than broccoli, I think, and that's saying a lot. Maybe people like it. That's fine. Maybe I haven't had it prepared correctly or whatever. And if you're going to lunch today, you know that the wise choice for you would be to eat a kale salad, am I right? I mean, versus that. But if you go out to eat and you consume all your meal, the calories that you consume are a lot closer to what's down there than what's on top. And it's okay to cheat here and there and have meals, but it's like I said, there's things that we all know, like that throwing that brick across the room would be a bad choice. We know that if you eat kale salad all the time, you're probably going to live a little bit healthier than if you have burgers all the time. And the thing is, we don't need more information. We need wisdom. We don't need more info. We all know the calories of everything now, and it's not really helping with the obesity problem. We know how much we're eating and still consuming them, you know. We don't need more information. We need more wisdom. And I think wisdom comes from a combination of two things generally, experience and reflection. Like if you were to do something, I know for me, there are things I wish I could get into a time machine and tell young Brian, get back and just say, don't do whatever you do, don't do this. And there may be one or two things that you think of. I wish I could get back in time, stop, you're going to save the world if you don't do that. I wish I could go back. And the reason is you get wiser as you gain experience, hopefully, as you get a little bit older, because as you take time to reflect and that worked, eating that huge McDonald's meal didn't really make me feel too good, so maybe I'll switch what I'm eating. It's the combination of experience and reflection. But I think reflection is something that we almost have no time for anymore in today's society. I mean, our lives are just kind of filled to the brim. I don't know if you feel like I do, but our lives are just filled with stuff. We talked about this in our series on stress a few months ago, but imagine 500 years ago, the basic place that you got information was around your dinner table. You used to come together 500 years ago and you used to talk. I know that sounds really scary, teens, like to just talk. What? With only the people that are in the room? But my friends I can easily text them, I can talk to them, but That was how it was 500 years ago. You'd come around a table. That was basically how you got your information. You didn't know about what was happening in India or something that was happening in Australia. And we had a very much more global perspective. And there are good things with that, but it also just adds extra layers to our lives. But 500 years ago, people just kind of came around a dinner table or met with friends. The information that you got was basically with the person that you were in front of or talking with. But slowly, that starts to change. The printing press comes out, and so books are available. And I kind of wonder if when books first started, if like teenagers were reading books and their parents got mad at them, you know, like, stop reading that book and talk to me. And now people would love for them to be reading a book, maybe. And then after the printing press comes out, newspapers comes, and we kind of have that image in our mind of someone in the perfect house in the 1950s on TV. They used to come home, and the dad would say, hi, honey, I'm home, kick off his shoes, and then what do? He'd go and open the paper while his wife was finishing dinner. The paper became something that everyone commonly used, but that just kept going. The radio comes out after that, and the radio looks exactly like that. I'm sure you've seen radios that look like that. And there's radios that have come along. That was the way that information was sent out. Then the television comes, and everyone thought that the television was going to kill the radio because it's not just sound, it's picture and sound. So what reason would you have for a radio anymore? But we've still found some reasons while you're driving in the car. So you don't have any time when it's silent. You can listen to something. And TV was thought it was just going to kill the radio. Now people, instead of gathering in the dining room, will gather around the TV. And then the computer comes out. Computers used to take up a whole room full, but now people can have their own computer, and that gave you the internet eventually, where everyone was connected to a bunch of people that are outside of the room that you're in. And even more cell phones come, and you can connect with people that are outside the room. You can connect with the internet. You can do all of this kind of stuff. Life, I mean, the dinner table used to be so empty. Now it's so full. How many times do you go out to lunch or dinner and you see couples or families that, I mean, they're not even looking or talking with each other? Life has just kind of kept stacking on itself. Let me tell you something that's kind of, this is an observation for free. Go to the next slide, Crystal. The internet is almost always more interesting to you than your parents, your spouse, your kids, or your roommates, or anyone else in the room. And the reason why is because it's catered to your experience. You can go to any website that you want to, pick out your own experience, whatever your interest is. And so if you are just constantly going to the internet as your source of how you connect and interact with people, you're always going to choose the interesting thing. And that's not always the best thing to choose. And we barely have any time for reflection in our society anymore because life just keeps piling on itself. So I kind of feel like we're actually tossing a lot of bricks in the air. We're making some mistakes. We're throwing some bricks over a group of people. And we don't really take the time to see where they land. We don't take time to assess the damage that goes on. We don't take time to reflect, to sit and pause and reflect on our lives. And that's my challenge for you as we do this series. What I'm hoping that you'll do is take up this summer challenge with me that 5 days a week you'll read one of the Proverbs, one of the books of Proverbs. It's 31 chapters. It's not that big. I'll even give you 2 days off a week. But 5 days a week that you would read one of these chapters, which should take you about 5 minutes, and pick out one verse maybe that jumps out to you that you feel like God might be specifically really wanting for you to dwell on that day. Sometimes they're kind of confusing and they want to really like make you think and think about what's going on with your life. And so take 5 minutes, read it, and then take about 10 minutes, whether that means turning off your radio in your commute to work or just spending some time maybe later in the day at lunch. But take 5 minutes to read the proverb as you start the chapter in Proverbs as you start your day, and then spend some time to reflect on it later. Because, church, there's good news about wisdom. In the book of James, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. So God wants to give us wisdom, I think. God wants to give us direction, but we don't really have time to listen. We don't have time to reflect. We don't ever ask that question. God, what might you want me to do with this next step? what might you want me to do with this next phase in my life? There's a big decision that I'm trying to make, and I don't know what to do. James tells us that wisdom is more available, maybe, than we might think. I love the story in 1 Kings. Whenever you think about wisdom, 1 Kings 3 tells us about Solomon, who's a young king. And he says, "Now, Lord my God, you've made your servant king in place of my father David, but I'm only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who's able to govern this great people of yours?" And God responds, "Since you've asked for this, and not for a long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment and administering justice, I will do what you've asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be." So God says, "I'm so excited that you didn't ask for wealth, you didn't ask for fame, and because you didn't ask for those things, I'm actually going to give it to you anyway." I mean, we still talk about Solomon today. "Because you've asked for wisdom, I'm going to give it to you." And what's so interesting about Solomon is he ends up writing the book of Ecclesiastes, which don't read until you're older and you'll nod your head through it. If you're young, you're like, "This doesn't make any sense." He wrote many of the Proverbs that we find in the book of Proverbs. He wrote Song of Solomon, and also included in the Catholic Bible, the Apocrypha, is the Wisdom of Solomon. So there's all of this wisdom that we have from this guy who, his story says, he asked for wisdom, and he just writes like the greatest hits of wisdom. God's pleased with this answer, and he gets so much wisdom. So church, the good news is that wisdom is available to us. You may be in the midst of a big decision, and the book of Proverbs, I think, will help you to really understand what God might want you to do in a certain situation. Maybe you don't know exactly what step to take next, but as you read through this book, it can help to inform your next choice and your next call. And one thing I want to give you as kind of a word of warning as we begin this, as you kind of start to read the Proverbs for the first time, is in Proverbs 13:21, it says this: "Trouble pursues the sinner, but the righteous are rewarded with good things." So Proverbs, as you read sometimes, it isn't a promise for all situations, right? I mean, this is just kind of a general principle. A lot of times in the book of Proverbs, that's what it is. It's kind of a general principle for living life. I mean, if someone is involved in sin, trouble usually pursues them. Does that mean like every time you sin, trouble pursues you every single time? No, this is a general principle. And the same, the righteous are rewarded with good things. You've probably maybe lived a righteous life. You feel like you do, and just it's not like A equals A, that you get exactly as much righteousness as you've put in. This is just a general principle. So that's how Proverbs works. It's kind of the general principles and wisdom for life. There's some great Proverbs, too, some things that are really challenge you, some things that are very practical. It's one of the most practical books of the Bible because it just really explains how life works. And there's some of them that are really funny. I love this one, Proverbs 27:14. "If anyone loudly blesses their neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse." How many morning people are there in here? Yeah, you probably know this when you talk to your friends early in the morning. They're like, "Stop talking." You probably know that one already. So there's some great, just really, I'm telling you, it's like the nuts and bolts of life. Here's another one that I think is great. This is the Message version of this one. "A nagging spouse is like the drip, drip, drip of a leaky faucet. You can't turn it off and you can't get away from it." It's just practical stuff, isn't it? It's fantastic. That's what you're going to find. It's a very, very practical book that has some of this stuff that you're like, "Wow, that's really interesting. I never knew the Bible said that before." Bill Hybels talks about the book of Proverbs, and he says it this way: "It takes the ageless, priceless wisdom of God himself and makes it understandable and accessible to ordinary people like you and me. Comprehending its wisdom requires no university degree. The book contains few confusing theological terms. The most down-to-earth book in the Bible, Proverbs puts pertinent truths for everyday life on the bottom shelf where we can all reach them." So I hope that you'll take up my challenge as we start to read through this book, because during this series, I'll talk about just kind of some of the themes that are in Proverbs about friendship, about finances, about all these kind of things that are just very, very practical things that the book of Proverbs talks about. But I hope that if you take up this series, that you'll do it seriously and you'll think about, okay, I'm going to read one and then take 10 minutes to really think about what proverb might be speaking to me today. This is a book that can give you some real practical wisdom. Like I said, I love how Bill Hybels says this, that it puts this pertinent truth on the bottom shelf where people can reach it. Because we all need wisdom, right? We need the wisdom of God in our lives. No matter where you are, no matter what stage of life you're in, we need to have this wisdom. This wisdom that I think is available to us from God and available to us a lot of ways through the book of Proverbs. So I want us to stand together and read this verse from Proverbs 3, verses 13 and 14. As we're pursuing wisdom this summer, I want this to be the verse maybe that you memorize from the book of Proverbs. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. One more time. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields a better return than gold. Let's pray. God, this summer as we dive into this book and look at some wisdom that's been there for 3,000 years, I pray that we'll all come to you with the questions that are on our heart. We're all at different places. We all have different questions. We're all making different decisions. And I pray that as we pursue this wisdom, that as James promises us, that you love to give wisdom. You love to give wisdom generously without finding fault. Father, speak to us through this book. We come expecting that you can speak to us, that you can say a powerful word to us about what it means for us to truly live with wisdom. Give us the courage to ask the hard questions of our lives, and give us the courage also to apply the things that you put in our hearts. It's one thing to know information. It's another thing to live with wisdom. And bless us as we all try to do that this summer. We want to live with wisdom. We don't just want information. Bless us, Father, as we pursue this. In your son's name I pray. Amen. Let's worship together.